Now we're going to read the scripture together. And these two portions come from Luke's gospel, chapter 24, verses 25 through 27, and then verses 44 through 48. Would you read with me, please? And he said to them, "O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Then he said to them, 'These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled.' Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, 'Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things.'" And all the people said, "Amen." Larry, would you go ahead and bring the lights down? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And the evening and the morning were the first day. On the sixth day of creation, God made the crown of creation. He said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness." So he created the man in his image and in his likeness. Male and female, he created them. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And this first pair, their spirits were alive and awake and in communion with the God who made them. And the Bible says that in the evening, they walked together in the cool of the day with the Lord their God. How long this went on, we don't know. When the Bible talks of the serpent, it means more than just a snake. The tempter came and began whispering his lies and convinced them, "God isn't telling you everything. God's holding out on you. You can make your own decisions without God, and you can be like God." And they listened to the tempter's voice, and they disobeyed God. And the moment they did, their spirits died. It would take a long time for their bodies to catch up, but the Bible says the wages of sin is death. And God came back to the garden to confront them. God called to the man and said, "Where are you?" And they had hidden themselves from God because for the first time in their existence, they were ashamed. And their sin not only gave them knowledge of good and evil, it did do that, but not like God had. God was untainted by his knowledge of good and evil. The sin that Adam and Eve had committed stained their souls and weighed down their spirits. It blackened their spirits. God cast them out of the garden because sin also separates us from God. They began to have children. They had Cain and Abel. And Cain rose up and slew Abel, because the darkness was in them too. And the Bible says, then they had Seth and other sons and daughters. And in the days of Seth, the Bible says, then men began to call upon the name of the Lord, meaning to come together and publicly call on the name of the Lord. But even though they were having children and filling the earth as God intended them to do, because of their sin, because of the darkness in them, it was not as God intended it to happen. And every single one of the children born to them, they were meant to have the light of God in their spirits, but they were born with dead spirits. And so these lives that were meant to have communion with God and be aflame with His presence were dark. When it came to the time of Noah, the Bible says that God saw that every imagination of the heart of man was only evil continually. And He saw the violence and bloodshed in the earth. And so in effect, God rebooted. He started over with just Noah and his wife and their sons and their wives. They passed through the judgment of the flood. And when they came off of the flood, off the ark, God told them again, I want you to fill the earth and replenish it. And they began to do it, but the problem was still there. Because to Noah and his sons and their offspring, every one of the children born to them was also carrying the darkness within. And so people began to multiply on the face of the earth. And the darkness began to multiply. And some of us, because of the darkness inside of us, were bent by it. Some of us were so badly broken by it. And still we multiplied. And down through the centuries, more and more people, every single life repeating the mistake of our first parents, and disobeying God, and the consequences of all of those decisions of rebellion against God, creating ripples of destruction that careened into the lives of others, until with a world of millions and then billions of people all rebelling against God, it's no wonder our world became full of pain and sin. This was not what God intended. But there's another beginning the Bible talks about. Mark's gospel says the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. John's gospel starts this way. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the Bible says that when the Lord Jesus came and began His ministry and began preaching and teaching things that no other man had spoken and doing miracles, the Bible says they that sat in great darkness saw a great light. And Jesus said twice, I am the light of the world. And the light shone in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. The light shone in the darkness, and the darkness overcame it not. But oh, how they wanted to overcome Him. And oh, how they tried. And some came to Him, and some believed in Him, but most didn't. And some in whom the darkness was great opposed Him greatly, and they sought to catch Him in His words. They sought to destroy Him. He kept saying, my hour has not yet come. My hour has not yet come. But then there came a day when He said, my hour has come. And His enemies, were successful in arresting him. They brought him through a series of trumped up legal proceedings. Finally, they thought they found a charge that could stick. They asked him, "Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed?" And he said, "I am. And you will see the Son of Man coming in his glory and seated at the right hand of power." And they tore their robes and they said, What need we have for further witnesses? He has committed blasphemy." But they knew that if they went to Pilate, he wouldn't be impressed with the charge of blasphemy. So they said, "This man says he is a king. And if you let him live, you are no friend of Caesar's." So Pilate said, "I find no fault in this man," but he washed his hands and delivered him over to be crucified. And twice in the Gospel of Luke and in the Gospel of John, there are four stark words. "There they crucified him." And they laid him in a tomb, and the devil laughed. His enemies rejoiced, and the disciples wept. But then, in the despair of those days, something wonderful happened. Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and he was buried. And he was raised the third day according to the Scriptures. But that's not where the story ends, because the world is still full of people with dark spirits, dead spirits who need the light of God within. And Jesus not only said, "I am the light of the world," he said, "You are the light of the world." Hey, Carm and Colton, would you come over on this side just to make this a little easier? We love you. We want you to be a part of this group over here. Jesus told his disciples, "You are the light of the world." And then he said, "Go you into all the world. Preach the gospel to every creature." Then the Lord Jesus ascended to heaven. And he left us here to pass the light of the gospel of Christ from one to the other. I'm going to ask you, as I pass this, when you get your candle lit, would you stand and very carefully pass it to the one next to you and keep passing it? When your candle is lit, would you stand? We're going to start singing a gospel song. And I want you, until everyone has their candle lit, just remain standing there. And when everyone has their candle lit, we're going to, symbolic of Jesus sending us out into the world, we're going to slowly pass from here and pass out into the narthex. There's a container out there under the big window where you can blow the candles out and leave them. But in the meantime, I want you to think about who it was that passed the light of Christ to you, and who it is that you can do your part to pass the light of Christ to them.